Hello, everybody.
Hello.
So good to see you. First of all, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Thank you. We were taught in school, we had to learn English, you know, we were forced to. But today we're really glad we were forced to, which made us be able to see you, to understand you, to communicate to you. Hallelujah. But it was always Mr. and Mrs. and these things. You're not really into those things anymore, are you? Or it's sometimes, maybe. I'm sorry, I will try to behave as best as I can. If I don't, it's because of who I am. Yeah. But first of all, thank you to all of you here, and you allowed this beautiful team to come to us this summer. I think of you every day, actually. I see this arch that you built and other bricks and the mortar is there. I think, oh, he did this and he did this. And Pete, where are you? Yeah, there you are. God bless you. He made this beautiful arch. And Duncan, oh, is wait on, Dean. Is Dean here?
Dean.
Dean. Dean. Yeah.
The YouTube kid.
Yeah. Is Stanley here? No, he's famous now. He's famous on YouTube, if you have seen that. Hastings. So many of you. Where's Dadashi Bozorg. Shuma Unja. Khayli Khub. Hallelujah. So we're just very, very thankful for coming to us and helping us in our needs. It's the love of God, it's the love of Christ, and I just want to appreciate our thankfulness, really. And also for us to be able to be here. I never thought, you know, I'm really a bit stuck in Sweden. I made myself very busy. We're really super busy, and you think, you know, I don't have time to go to the UK. But here we are, and we're so glad that we just came out of that windy Sweden to come to the windy UK. And we feel very much at home here. Thank you so much. I have a word from the Bible. And one of my problems sometimes is that I have too many words from the Bible. There's a lot of words, and I'd like to share with you the proper one today. But as we flew in over London a week ago or so, I felt a specific word, which I would love to share with you today. And it's from the book of 1 Samuel. And I would like Duncan or anyone who has an English Bible to come and read for us some verses from chapter 14 in 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel. Is that what you call it in English? Yeah. Samuel. 1 Samuel.
Does it?
Thank you.
Does anybody
Swedish,
want to read? Somebody's
in Swedish,
good at
it's called Första Samuels boken. You never heard that.
Somebody, come and read. Come on, Dola. Dola's there. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. I would like you to read verse 6 to 15. That would be enough.
Cool. Okay, so 1 Samuel 14, starting at verse 6.
Yes.
Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison, to those uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with your heart and soul." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hand." and this shall be the sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes they have hidden themselves. And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, killed about 20 men within, as it was, half a furlough's length in an acre of land. And there was panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a very great panic.
Exactly. Thank you. Now you might wonder why I chose such a word. Perhaps we could wish that there were less blood or violence in the words we read sometimes, but this is the reality of the Word of God. And I'd just like to emphasize for some of you that might be new here that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not make war and kill people, right, Duncan?
Yeah,
that's pastorally correct, right. But we do find examples in the Old Testament that shows us a spiritual reality. We are at war against dark forces. And there are lots of evil and dark in the world that needs to be fought down. Now, so we draw truths from the scripture and the Old Testament, even though it sometimes is very bloody and cruel. We need to find truth in these words, and that's why we can read a word like this on a Sunday morning. It doesn't mean that we are cruel people, no. We have other weapons today. We pray for people, we cast out demons, we cast out darkness, we bring light into situations. And that's our warfare that we do, just for you to be sure that this is the case. So, hallelujah. This is a word that spoke to me, and I'd like to share perhaps with you a few testimonies of simple faith. Because what we find in these words is, it's a long story where the people of Israel were pretty much under pressure. They were disarmed, had no weapons. Only the king, King Saul, and his son Jonathan, they had weapons. But the rest of the people were disarmed. The enemies had taken their weapons, and as soon as they wanted to sharpen something, maybe you had a knife, maybe you were supposed to cut your bread in the morning, and you can't cut your bread, but most of your bread is already cut here in the UK, I saw that, you know. But in Sweden, we need our axe, we need our saw to cut our bread. Well, imagine you're cutting something at home in your kitchen, and your knife is so, what do you call it, dull? Blunt. Yeah, it's so blunt, it's worthless. And you need to make it sharp. Yeah, and you don't have one of these sharpeners from IKEA in your kitchen. They're not invented yet. But in order to make it sharp, you have to go to the enemies and say, please, I have a blunt knife, can you make it sharp? And they would respond, yes, but you have to pay this much. This is 20 pounds. You have to pay to make it sharp. It's terrible. And the situation was like this. As soon as they needed to make something sharp, they had to go to the enemies and ask for their help. And I just feel that, you know, sometimes, and Duncan, you need to sort these things out during the week later, you know, if I prophesy or, you know, I walk out on thin ice, whatever. But I just feel that, or believe that you sometimes, as the people of God, you feel you've been disarmed in a certain area, and you believe that, you know, in order to do something within this field, we have to go to these people who don't even believe in us. We have to ask for permission, we have to pay ourselves through. There's a trickiness, and there's like a jungle that needs to be cut through, and you ask yourselves, why, Lord, why is this? You know, we're being disarmed. And I believe God has a solution for that. I believe God is opening up for you new fields. I believe there are a few things that might be hidden in your hearts that you haven't been able to achieve yet as a church. And even though I look at your work, I look at the food bank, I hear about the night shelter, I see the fantastic work that you do, I just think, you know, how could you do more? But at the same time, I believe the Lord wants to say to you this morning that there are new things, there are new fields. You might feel disarmed in those fields, that you have nothing that you can't take new ground or so. But I believe the Lord is saying he's preparing something for you, and you will be able to step in faith. What I'm speaking about today is simple faith, which we can see in Jonathan, who just one day said, "Let's go over there. Shall we go over there and see what happens?" And this is not from our conversation, this is something I believe the Lord gave me before I met you here. Shall we go over to that place and see? Maybe the Lord will do something for us. And they went, as we read the story, they went, and they were two. And the other guy, the armor bearer, he said, "I am with you, heart and soul. Do whatever you have in your mind." There is strength in simple unity. There's no committee here, or there's no voting, there's nothing big, it's very, very small and very, very simple. But in simple unity, you find such power. At the same time, in simple disunity, you find lack of power. How can you do anything, you know? Even the smallest word that is sometimes spoken, you know what I mean, against your so-so, can sometimes totally disarm you and make you doubt and maybe even leave visions behind or leave fields left in their wilderness, not achieved, because disunity comes. Simple unity is powerful. And I believe we see an example of that here. Let's go over there and see if the Lord can do anything for us. I just have a story in my heart that I'd like to share with you. As Duncan said, we used to live in Africa. My dear wife and I, we were not married at that time. I met this wild girl and she brought me to Africa. And it was the hardest time of my life. How many here are from Africa originally? Hallelujah. Is anyone from Kenya? Bwana sifiwe sana. Hamna mungu kama wewe mungu bwana. Amen. Bwana sifiwe sana. Hallelujah. Anyone from Tanzania? Tanzania. Hallelujah. Mungu akubarikiwe. Amen. Hallelujah. So we ended up in Kenya. We, as Duncan said, we lived among the refugees. We built our own mud hut. Actually, you know, if there's no place to live, what will you do? You have to build a house. And we stayed in that house. I remember so much those days. I was 20 years old. I was scared, you know, from thieves and violent people sneaking around in the refugee camp. I remember I was sleeping with a spade, a shovel, you know. It's like, you know, if anyone comes in here, dunk. I hope. I don't know. We were pretty much left alone there. We had a fantastic time. We grew as people, as Christians, as believers, as prayer warriors, as people in need of God. We had a night guard next to us from the Turkana tribe. And he said, my wife is sick. She's in the next village over there. I just need to go there for a day and I'll return later. So I just need to go. Could you guard this governmental property here next next to the refugee camp? I said, of course, brother. So I slept outside in his bed, guarding this. I became a night guard, and he had an iron rod. You know, so I slept with an iron rod, and I was really praying to God. Sometimes you really learn how to pray, don't you? Learn how to run to the Lord. We all need some challenges in order to grow with God. And God is pretty good at allowing challenges. Never too much, believe me. He's always giving you a way how to deal with the problems, but he will make you very dependent on him. Now, the night guard, he didn't come back in days, so I had to stay there for a long time, and then he showed up. This, you know what I mean. This is about African time, you know. It's like, you know, they say, you have the clock, Marcus, we have the time. It's like, and we learn a lot from each other, and in a group like this, in a church like this, you will be so rich in cultures and so rich in the Word of God and the experience of God and how to grow together, how to fight together, how to forgive, how to grow again, how to go on, next step. All of this. This is a picture of heaven. So many different nationalities. Heaven is here. Amen. Amen. Heaven is real. Look around. So in this camp, we got to know many people, and there was one guy that I'm thinking of today. His name was Terefe, and he was one of these displaced orphans from Ethiopia that we worked with. And worked with, when I'm saying working, you know, it's no organization sending us out. We were young and wild. We didn't care about anything. We just had faith in God, and when you believe something, you go. I wish it was like that still, you know. We have matured, and we need to mature in the right way. Sometimes we can lose something when we grow up. Now let's hear the voice of the Holy Spirit every day in order to find the right way, His way, to find His heart. We heard something about that here. To find his heart, his heartbeat. And Terefe, he was young. I don't know how old, maybe he was like 12, around 12 years, 13 years old. One of the Ethiopian orphans. We got to know him there. Long story short, we left the camp, went home to Sweden, and came back to Sudan a few years later. And in Sudan, we had a wonderful time, of course. When we left Sudan after 5 months, we went through Kenya, through Nairobi. And there we met some of the orphans. They had now left the camp up in Turkana Desert in the north. And they went down to Nairobi to find a better life. So one of these guys, Terefe, he was there. And I still remember when we passed, we used to take the matatu, and then we went downtown, and we used to pass the office of UNHCR there. I'm sure you've been there outside the gates, and you passed the gates. If you've been there are lots of people standing outside the gates. Lots of Somalis, lots of refugees, and all of them, they want to come in to the office to just to plead their case, to say, I'm a refugee, I need resettlement, I need a country, I need a nation that will receive me. Because many of these, they would have been living in the camps, in refugee camps, all their lives. Many are born there. These camps, I don't know for how long has these camps been in Turkana, in Kakuma? Like 30 years, something like that. So people are really stuck. So they, They try to find hope outside the gates of UNHCR. It was really hard to get in. First, you might have to pay something to the askari, to pay the guard at the gate. You have to give him something. And then, if you manage to get in, maybe you need to give something more at the reception. And it was full of these challenges for the refugees. So, I don't know if you remember Kofi Annan. You remember Kofi?
Yeah.
Kofi Annan. So he was married. He's not alive anymore, right? He died a few years ago. But he was married to a Swede, to a Swedish woman. And he had just been there. This was like in year 2001, when we came back to Nairobi. So he had been at the office, and he had tried to do a lot of things about the corruption there, and he had fired many people. So there was a new situation at the UNHCR, but still loads of refugees outside the gate. They couldn't get in. You need an appointment. It needs to be scheduled. It's and lots of bureaucracy. So Ellen, my dear wife, she has a big heart. She said one day, "Let me go to the office of UNHCR. Let me see. Nothing hinders God from giving victory through few as through many. Let me go to the office." So we went to the office, and I stood outside the gate with the Somalis praying for Ellen. And she went to the gate without any appointment, nothing scheduled, and she just said to the guard, "I am here. I'm going inside to see this and this." And she named the head officer of that place. And they looked at her and said, "Oh, yeah, you come in. She came to the reception, and she said, "I'm seeing Mr. So-and-so, the head officer of this place." And I remember she replied to Ellen, "Where are you from?" You know, saying, "Which NGO or which organization are you from?" And Ellen just replied, "I am from Sweden." I remember Kofi Annan had just been there, you know, and his wife is Swedish. So at the reception said, "Oh, yes, please, this way." "He will be here in a minute." And the guy, he comes out from... the head officer, he comes out and says, "Oh, welcome. Welcome in." And you had a good chat there, and explained about this Ethiopian orphan who was one in the crowd of thousands and thousands. And we left it there. We didn't hear anything about what happened. But the head officer said, "Yes, thank you very much for coming. It's exactly people like this that we need to help. Course." And time went by. We came home to Sweden. After 10 years, we had a phone call. 10 years, we had a phone call from Canada. And this Ethiopian orphan was calling from Canada, just to tell us that day at the office, it changed everything. It took 10 years. But the process started. And now I am living in Canada. They brought me here. Now he has a family there. He has a life there. And it's a very touching story to us, because sometimes we move in faith, we get something, and we go, and then we don't see anything. We don't see the result even. It doesn't mean that God is not in it, you see? We need to be patient people, not to stop the faith from working by speaking unbelief and giving up. Never give up. Never give up. Keep your faith as simple or foolish as it is. Keep your faith in God. And He is working on our behalf. There are some prayers I believe that God will answer immediately, like praying for the poor. "Lord, help me, use me to rescue this and this and so on and so. Isn't that on God's heart? He's working, even when we don't see it or feel it. He will work on their behalf. Absolutely. So many stories like this. What God has done in simple faith. Yeah. Another story I'd like to share again, Mr. Duncan, if it's okay. I will finish soon, but I beg you to hear my simple heart, even my foolish heart sometimes, because I don't have all the answers and I don't really know how to build the church of Jesus. I'm thankful that Jesus says he will build it and not I. We don't have all the answers, and you don't need to be an expert in any way, but you need to believe in the Lord Jesus. You need to have faith in him. And you need to have faith in his abilities. Absolutely. So, I'm sorry if I'm provoking you today, and I spoke to Andy before. He said, please provoke us. As I'm speaking, I'm even provoking myself. So, I'm not here to provoke anyone. I'm here to, you know, to try to let us together just grow and behold more of God's fantastic abilities and what he can do through simple people, which we all are, you know, in one way or another. We wouldn't be here without him. Everything comes from him. We're of him. We will go to him. It's thanks to him. Everything. We give him honor. We give him glory. We don't boast in ourselves at all. It's useless, pointless. We are made of mud. We're made of dust. We come from there. We are simple, you know. But he died for us. He gave his life for us. He loves us. He loves us so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He would sacrifice himself for you. He came to find you. And when he found you, he made you new. He gives you a new spirit, a new life, a new heart. He takes away all the rubbish, all the sins from your life. He takes it on himself. He cleanses us. He gives us a new start. He gives us a new meaning. You're valuable in his eyes. You are his. You belong to him. This is a love story from God. And so many simple faith stories. I mentioned this in Southampton. I learned a song in Farsi. I know we have some Farsi-speaking people here. It is you, Mrs., and... Exactly. Are there more Farsi-speaking people here? No, it's only the two of you. So I learned this song, you know. Darna me Isa, darna me Isa, hamishe piruzim, hallelujah. Darna me Isa, darna me Isa. Please help me. Shaitan me gorizad. Have you heard that? It's really old. It's so old song. You can hear it. It's like a march, you know. Darna me Isa, darna me. It's one of these songs. We don't sing anymore. I learned it about 25 years ago. I learned a song in Farsi. That's the only tool I had to reach the Farsi-speaking people. I couldn't understand Swedish. So I went to the pizzeria in our village of 1,000 people, called Rockneby. And when I entered the pizzeria, I saw that the man was from Iran. I said, hallelujah. I bought my pizza. Khoda ra shukr. Aha. Khayli khoshmaze. Man pizza khayli dost daram. Nusha jan. Bale, bale. So I bought my pizza and I looked at the man and I said in fantastic, beautiful Farsi, fluent Farsi, I quoted the song and I said, Dar nam Isa hamishe piruzim, shaitan me gorizad, which means, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory and Satan will flee. Which is a fantastic message, isn't it? A glorious message. Is there any other message actually that the world is waiting for to hear? The people in darkness, they shall see a great light, as we read in Christmas at home, you know. It's true every day, even in every pizzeria. The people who sit with their pizza in darkness, the people who walk in any town, any city, anywhere, those who sit in darkness, they shall see a great light. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory, and the darkness and the dark forces and Satan, he will flee. So I quoted this song to him, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. He looked at me. He gave me the pizza. I paid, of course. And off I went. And I thought, you know, I really am mad. You know? And I believe that sometimes that's exactly what you will feel and think of yourself. I'm really mad, you know. And that might be true, actually, but but God will choose even foolishness in order to do great things. So off I went, I left this guy, his name was Mahmoud. Mahmoud, everybody say Mahmoud.
Mahmoud.
God bless you. Mahmoud, I left Mahmoud. And a week later or so, people in my church, the Iranians, they came to me and said, you know what happened? And what? You know what happened to our relative? What relative? His name is Mahmoud. Mahmoud, okay. So, who is he? You know, he's working in the pizzeria there. I said, oh. What happened? And they tell me this amazing story about how Mahmoud, of course, he had you know, Christian relatives now. They were praying for him. I didn't know that. I didn't know who he was. You know, I didn't know they were family. So I said, well, this Mahmoud, he, one day in the pizzeria, he was really tortured, you know, by questions. He was asking himself, you know, who is God? Who is Jesus? My relatives, they have left Islam to believe in Jesus. What is this? What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Who is God? What is the Bible? Who is Jesus? What is all this? So he was asking these great questions. And suddenly, they said, suddenly, this white Swedish man walks into the pizzeria, buys a pizza, and looks at him, and in fantastic, beautiful Farsi, says, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory, and Satan will flee. Mahmoud, he was in shock. Now, this led him to just kneeling in his pizzeria and giving his life to Jesus, because he got some answers. And I later met Mahmoud to interview him in Stockholm a few years later. I said, is this true? Is this what happened? Yeah, this is exactly what happened. And when you shared that tremendous, fantastic message of having victory in life, actually over everything, even over cancer, over every obstacle, over every challenge in church life, and about next steps, and about buildings, and about properties, and about mission fields, and about anguish, and pain, and depression, and questions, over everything, we have the victory in the name of Jesus. And the darkness, the dark forces that are everywhere, torturing people, tricking people, fooling people, lying to us sometimes. Those forces, they will have to run away. They have to run away. They have to flee. This was answer enough for Mahmoud to surrender his life to Jesus. Now, there are so many stories like this, and we don't have time for all of them. But I just like to emphasize this today. Jonathan and his armor bearer, they had a great victory. And when the people of God saw this victory, then God stepped in even more. And the ground shook and all the people joined together and the rest came. And others who were left, you know, in obscurity, who were hiding, maybe they haven't left the people of God. People who had left the church, you know, people who had become enemies themselves, they also joined in. And there's a shift, I believe, that God wants to bring to all of Europe, to this church, to every church, where God is somehow uniting together. And I believe, dear Farsi-speaking friends, that I know, maybe, that sometimes we like to hide away from our cousins and brothers and our countrymen, countrywomen. Sometimes it's good that they are not around to see everything we do, you know. And I know the challenge of that. But I believe that God will bless you with more Iranians and that you will embrace family members and friends and others. And there will be even a more blend of Farsi-speaking people in this church that will enrich you and challenge you and give you headaches sometimes. But you will grow together and you will step out in faith into very silly things sometimes. And God will move in the midst of that. God bless you, O people of God. Thank you for listening to me.
Hi, church. I'm just going to invite Marcus and Ellen to just pray for all of us. Can we just be on our feet while you pray for us?
Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful church. We just give you honor and glory for everything that you've done here. You have birthed this church. And we just pray, Lord, for all of us who have gathered here today. We just pray, God, that you would help us to see that you are moving in the simple things. Help each one to take steps of faith that might look small, that might look big, but I believe God is speaking to your heart about something, and you will grab hold of your friend and take her, and take him by the hand and say, I'm thinking of doing this, you know. Shall we tell Duncan? And sometimes you don't even have time to tell Duncan, you know. You don't have to call him to ask for permission for some of the things that God is going to do through you. You will run with the vision that God has given you. You will step out in faith in this city. There will be people that you will draw up. There will be offices that you will enter. There will be things that will happen when you just move in simple faith. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to hear your voice and to just feel your peace and to lose all our prestige and lose our face sometimes. And just maybe laugh at ourselves even. But I just pray, God, this beautiful church in this fantastic nation that are hosting them right now, just bless them and help them, Lord, to see where you're going.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father, that today, Father, you will just give us a new joy in the mission, Father, to reach new people for you, Father. We thank you, Father, that just in a very short time, this hall also, it will be filled up, Father, with new people, Father. Thank you, Father, that we look around and see these empty chairs, Father. There will be new people And they will not just move from one church to a new church, Father, but they will be those who came who were not with you, who did not know you, but through these simple steps of faith, Father. And there will be joy in this mission. There will be new joy to reach out. There will be a new sense of your Spirit's guidance around every corner in this city, Father. Yes, you will give divine appointments, divine encounters, Father. And yes, you'll just give joy in the mission for this church to fill every chair in this church. We pray for families, Father, that do not know you. Even the new children that will come to the kids' clubs, Father. Even the new youth that will be joining these youth groups, Father. We thank you, God, for new nations, Father, that you gather into this church, Father. And we pray for new joy in the mission to go even to other nations, Father. Yes. For new teams to travel to other nations, Father. Thank you for a joy to reach new nations, just to serve, just to bring joy and encouragement to new places, to new cities, and to see your hand at work, Father. Thank you for blessing this family, and thank you for stirring them in their generosity and their joy and their unity, just to bless anyone who enters. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name.
Jesus
Hallelujah. Name. Amen. Amen.